Blog Talk Radio.
I was stupid, really stupid. Something told me deep inside, better not do it. What a dummy, such a dummy. To let the mess I shouldn't have did take you from me. Girl, if I could take it back, it'd be so bad. I'd be such an angel. You'd think that me and Jesus was cool. Like that, just like that. Everything between us be good. Girl, I know what I should have done. Should have walked away the moment that I saw her coming. But I blew it, really blew it. And lost the only girl I love. Dear God, if you're listening now, I need you to do a thing for me. You see my baby, she done up and walked out. I need you to bring her back to me. I know that I was wrong, I was guilty of sin. Probably not priority. But dear God, if you're listening, crying, somebody need to pray for me. Dear God, if you're listening, thought I was something, really something. In the end, who knew I'd end up with nothing? I was fronting. Truly frontin', girl, I really can't be mad. I had it coming. Guess if I was half the man I know I am, I would be so good that even Oprah be jealous of you. It's like that, yeah, like that. Everything between us be good. Girl, I know what I should've done. Should've walked away the moment that I saw her coming. But I blew it, really blew it, and lost the only girl I love. Dear God, if you're listening now, need you do a thing for me. You see my baby, she done up and walked out. I need you to bring her back to me. I know that I was wrong, I was guilty of sin. Probably not priority. But dear God, if you're listening now, I'm down here dying, begging, crying. Somebody ought to pray for me. I'm making you this promise right now. If you can do this one thing for me, I'll be the man that you want. I'll be the man that you need. Church every Sunday, prayers every Monday.
Alafia, greetings and hotep. Welcome to the Care to Read Room. You've got your Omi Inka, Zanu, Priestess Zanu, here to serve you. I am your Empress, and I am your Advocate, and I'm your Maliwa. I am here to serve you. I like to say what's up to my new friends, and I like to say Habari Gani to my old friends. Welcome, welcome. This is a rescheduled show, ladies and gentlemen, reconnecting our children's spirit back. Now, that song that was played had a lot of significance. You might not have noticed that it was directed towards children and lovers, primarily for mothers who have lost their children, who have lost their children to the system, whose children's spirit has been broken, and they are no longer wanting to be a part of the family. And to those children whose spirits are not cultivated, just as lover spirit may not be cultivated in a relationship, that song has a lot of significance, and we are going to have to pray for our children and our love affairs. And we're going to have to look at the situation and be quite honest with ourselves. Do our children come here with a spirit? And if so, are we responsible for cultivating that spirit? Are we responsible for smothering the spirit and putting our biased beliefs into the child? Teachers, I'm talking to you and any affiliate administrators that work with children, we sometimes unknowingly alter the child's spirit by putting our biases in the child's mind and body and spirit. We have to do a better job of cultivating our children's spirit, because when we grieve their spirit, they no longer have a desire to live. And there's a large amount of children that are leaving this earth today, and they are below ground because they no longer had a desire to live. Their spirits are intact, ladies and gentlemen, and they come here intact. The question is, are we as adults cultivating those spirits and reconnecting them back to the source from which they came? We're going to talk about that some more, ladies and gentlemen, and we're going to get right into that. We have tons of things to do today, and I want to light up that phone line at 646-478-0270. Call in, little G. I want the little G's in the house to call in. If you feel like you can't go on, and if you feel like you don't want to be a part of a family because you don't feel love, or your opinion is not valued, then call in. I want the parents to call in if you're just getting your children back and you need some help trying to figure out what to do so you can keep your children out of the system. And if your children are locked in the system now, in a society, in a system where your children have been taken away because of abuse, and you need someone to talk to, this is a phone line tonight to call in. I'm calling and sending out all of the anchors out there so that someone will have a lifeline to call in on, 646-478-0270. Why don't you go ahead, Lil G, and lock that dial in and keep it right there, keep it right there, keep it right there, and don't move it. I'll be right back at you in the atmosphere. Here's another new song called Never Let It Go. Stay tuned. I'll be right back at you in the atmosphere.
Can I prepare you for how I want to love you? And I know you've been hurting, pain and love is all the same in your eyes. So baby, take a chance to really let me show you. And if you open up, I'll teach you how to love for life.
I'll never let it go.
right. Welcome back, family, and thank you so much for joining me this Sunday evening. I know it's late in the evening, but I'm glad you stayed up just for my show, because you're going to be glad you did. Now, we're talking about reconnecting the children's spirit, but before we do anything, we want to acknowledge our higher selves, and I invite you to go over to the throne of grace with me as we begin to purify ourselves and get ourselves in order to offer up praise and worshiping. We like to stand before the Creator, asking the Creator if He would allow us to pour libation and pour a libation to Oludulamare. We say Ashe. We pour libation to Obatala, our Father Spirit, and we say Ashe. We pour libation to our Mother Spirit, Yamanja, and we say Ashe. Pouring libations to the East, and then to the West, then to the South, and then to the North. And we say Ashe, and we ask you, Father, to allow us to penetrate today, to allow us to make some headway, to allow us to minister and to educate on the fact that our children's spirits come here intact. We need not do anything but cultivate the spirit to help harvest what you've already laid down. You knew us in the womb. You knew us from the beginning of time. As Oludulamare, you were there. And Oromola sculptured and molded us and was at the right hand of God when we were created. Help us to remember that we have to develop our children and give them a reason to have hope. We cannot allow them to exit out of this world the same way they came in. We thank you, Father, that you've blessed every household here today. Now let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer, on thee do I wait, and on thee do I beseech for help. Guide me on the straight path, and those on the straight path who have gone astray, not on the path of the unrighteousness. And we pray and implore thee that every household here that loves you, Father, will be blessed down to the thousandth generation. And we say, Ashe and amen. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Our topic again once today is cultivating and reconnecting our children's spirit. As a school teacher, from time to time, I had envisioned, along with other teachers, that we would revamp the curriculum and redo the whole school system over. And let's just face it, there are some of you out there that are teachers now that are frustrated with what's going on in our school system. We know we're cultivating warehouses of children who are being bred to go into the penal institution and who are being frustrated enough in the special ed programs with the tags and the label attached to them where they are not being challenged to the point these children have no desire to live. And their spirits that they came here with was full of zealousness and desire to live. And they were a sponge waiting to absorb any input that we might give them as adults. But some of those children have lost hope, and we have caused children to fail because we have not given them the desire and the hope. We have told them about the negativism and about there is no hope and there is no peace, and we put our fragile, warped concepts in the children when we could have been giving them the hope that they needed to create a spirit for themselves. Now, how do children come here on earth with a spirit? Aren't we supposed to teach children? God put his essence in every one of us, and that spirit he's already cultivated, and he's placed it there for us to help develop and grow it. But we are not to change a child's mind about what is righteous and what is good. Most children come here with an understanding of what's righteous and what is good. They have Iwapelu. It's the world that turns them. It's the world that demolishes them. It's the world that causes them to have fragile thinking. And it's the world that usually puts the child in the wrong position going down the wide road instead of the straight and narrow. And most of the time, ladies and gentlemen, when we are in our classrooms, we are so busy pouring information in our children that we don't want to hear what they have to say. It is not child-oriented for outcome-based, but it is teacher-driven and test scores-driven instead of waiting to see what the child can produce, waiting to see what genius is going to be able to present itself. Yes, they are geniuses. Children have the ability to be genius because God put unique spirits in each and every one of the children. They're extraordinary. And if you took time to study children, you'll see that they have a spirit of their own. And they'll tell you when things are not right. And usually they have the solution to things that we are pondering our brains over. Is it right for us to tell a child to be prejudiced? Is it right for us to tell a child not to like a certain flavor of ice cream or like to gravitate to a certain color or an item? Is it right for us to put our opinions in children, or should we allow them to develop their own and help them to cultivate it? Well, we've disconnected our children, and we've got to find a way to reconnect it back. We've got to find out how we can get that child back in right standing again. When we see our children going astray, we have to look at our own lives. The children's teeth are set on edge because the parents have eaten bitter grapes. Usually, if the children are hell-bound, set on destruction and destroying themselves, it's because of something that they are relating to that has gone on in their life or their home life. And that's when you pull the child back and address those issues, mothers, in the home and fathers. Now, I want to say this much. There's a lot of bad rap being put out there about fathers, and I want to clear up that misnomer and that nonsense. Fathers by nature want to cultivate their children. It's this stern society which have become so frightened of our black men that they put out a hype like they're the first bald eagle that is becoming extinct, and that every person that sees a black man on one side of the street wants to assume that he wants to harm them. It is in the nature of a man to be a nurturer. And until us women see that every black man is not bad, and we have to conduct ourselves as women so that these men that we say that are so turned out will be able to function like men. If the women carry themselves like a woman, then the man can be a better man because he is like a fox. He's going to keep coming after the fox hunt as long as you give them a chance to play the game, ladies. But you don't give them enough time to play the game because you're so busy giving in that you don't give the man a chance to go on the fox hunt. And then you say our men are not fathers. They are not being fathers. They're birthing children and fathering children. Well, they can't father children without the woman's consent. So we have to share the blame of what is going on in our families and in our households. We cannot just point the finger at the man who's out of work, the man who's left home. We've got to be considerate enough. Society has done a pretty good darn job of breaking up black relationships. That's right, I'm going to say it. Breaking up black relationships and marriages. It is so easy now to get a divorce, far easier than it is to get a marriage license. And our children are suffering for it. Do you not know, ladies and gentlemen, you don't have to feel the effect of a divorce or what it could do to you and your significant other, but your children can feel the effect to the point where they're heartbroken. They feel like it's a part of them that has failed in the marriage. And our children have been turning to suicide more so than ever before. Their spirits are broken. How do we fix that? We fix that by showing tolerance for our significant others and patience and long-suffering. We don't give up on a marriage so quickly. We don't put the person out and say, I'm just fed up. We put time in and allow our children to see it. Because when our children see that we have tolerance for others and love, they then too will develop the tolerance and love for others in their life. We're cultivating the child's spirit, remember, mother. The child comes to us and he sees something that is so wrong. He is overwhelmed. He rushes in to tell you, Mom, is this right or is that right? And we must be prepared to say, no, it's not right. You have every right to be upset about it. We always tell our child, don't go getting upset and don't get all tangled up into that. Children have feelings, and they must express them. And we must tell them the proper way to grieve. What is wrong with our African-American race right now is that we have not allowed ourselves to grieve beyond slavery. Some of us are still in a stage as if we're in a war zone, and we're still grieving. And we're grieving so hard that we stay in depression. And then guess what? Our children see us lying down in beds in depression, and they too get into a stupor and become depressed and lose their spirit. Because children watch what you do, ladies and men, not what you say. They watch what you do. If you tell them everything's going to be all right, and then you go crawl up in that bed and put the covers over your head and stay there for days upon days, you're telling your child something. You're sending your child a message that I can't cope and I have no hope and I've given up. Well, I want to tell you, there was once a people that was very strong. They endured until the test of time. And they're the sum total of why we're still here, because we stood on their shoulders and came through the middle passage and we made it. We made it on a hope and a prayer. And our children weren't depressed. They had hope in their hearts, and they had a vision for the future. And we've got to give our children a vision for the future. And we've got to place the spirit back intact again. Do no harm to the child is what they tell me as a teacher. Keep the child's spirit intact. Well, a lot of schools are dismantling our children's spirit. There's a lot of racism and impartiality going on in the classroom. And not just from other races of people. We do it to ourselves, African Americans. We discriminate against our very own blackness. Sometimes the blacker the child is, the more we discriminate against him. And we are in the same race that he's in or she's in. So we've got to do a better job of not only educating our child, but cultivating their spirit too. Now, once I was going to tell you that a school teacher and myself had a vision and a dream that we could change the curriculum and set the curriculum up where it would mainly assess and test the child for how well he developed character and conduct. Now, teachers are now going to school, ladies and gentlemen, to get an endorsement in character building. Shouldn't this be something that's already embedded in our curriculum, which we are tested for, so that when we go into the classroom, there's no question about our character? Well, you've got a lot of bad teachers coming into the classroom with bad character and conduct. And periodically, after they took that test 20 years ago, they don't have to take it again. They just go on being a muck to society. Well, administrators, we've got to address some of these issues. You've got to have a love for the profession, and you sure have got to have hope for the child. If you're coming in the classroom, come on here, boy. We ain't got time to wait around for you. You will never get it. You don't know the answer. Go sit down. We don't have hope for that child. We've destroyed that child's intention, and we told him that he couldn't creed and he couldn't learn. I'm telling you, grown-ups, sometimes we're the causes of our children going bad, and we're wondering, where is it coming from? Well, I'll tell you where it's coming from. It's coming from us who are being big and bad and who have forgotten to apply character and good conduct ourselves. Now I ask you, are you in good conduct with your classroom? Are you cultivating that child's spirit? Are you giving that child a reason to have hope? Are you planting in that child? Iwa Pelu, good character, good conduct. Are you cultivating the spirit? And I want to tell you also, it's okay for that child to talk to you about his earnest feelings and to grieve with you about his family situation. Because as his teacher, you're his Maliwa. You're his best friend. And he or she's going to come to you when they're hurting. But the question is, will you put up a brick wall or will you receive that child and minister to that child's pain? Well, we have to. We're not mixing church with state. Don't go getting it twisted. We're mixing human and being human and being alive. Our children go through life with blinders on, shuffling their feet, carrying and gritting and bearing things that they don't have to bear, and losing hope because we're so afraid to step outside of the rims of our job description or fearing that we might show a little bit of compassion. Well, it takes compassion to be a teacher, a whole heck of a lot of compassion. We've got to first forgive ourselves. Then we got to learn how to forgive those children who are so inadequate in their belief system, and we've got to give them the time of day to be patient with them as they grow through their slow process of growth. Now, I'm more serious about this topic than any topic I've ever been discussing. The spirit of a child that comes to us intact. It is the most perfect spirit that we've ever seen amongst people. That child's spirit is already intact, and they're seeing the energy that we can't see. And they're moving in the spirit that we can't move in because we put so much stuff on our plate. We have become so noisy in our spirit that we can't hear from God. Well, the youngest child and the smallest child of all has the most connection to the God and the spirit. And I want to say to you, ladies and gentlemen, we got to pray for our children. We got to pray for them. And you can pray without ceasing. You don't always have to say an audible prayer. You can send the word to heal a child. You can encourage that child to cultivate their spirit by doing good things and good deeds. Teach your children, your students, to be charitable. Teach and show them how to be givers. Once you show your child how to be a giver, feeling. Do you not know that the serotonin level in the brain goes up every time there's an act of kindness and every time someone gives out something and that receiver, serotonin level goes up in their brain. And those who are looking upon that situation of giving, they can also get blessed where their serotonin levels goes up also. Since we're talking about science and technology, we must understand that we are dealing with human lives. And I don't care if you have to shut the classroom down to grieve over a child's loved one. I can recall the time when one of my strongest and outstanding students came to class who was always participatory in everything we did. He was so heavy in his spirit that he could not bear to lift his legs up. I knew upon looking at this child that the child's spirit was broken. It broke my heart. I laid my chalk down. I took my apron off, and I stood there in the middle of the classroom as if I had been hurt too by what the child had gone through. The children said, "What is it? What is it? What did you see? What's wrong? What's the matter?" See, this is the sense that we were given, that when one of us is sick, we all are sick. The children all ran up to me and said, "What is it? What are you looking at? What's wrong?" And then when I looked at the little boy, there was tears that welled up in their eyes, and they all went over to him with tears in their eyes crying because he was wailing. His mother had just passed that morning. But he made it to school because he wanted us to grieve with him. We all put our arms around him that day. and we fell to the floor, and we hugged him until we had nothing left in us to hug him with. And we grieved with him and told him it was okay to grieve. What not a time could you not grieve for your mother? We didn't say, pull it together, boy, get over it. We didn't say it's just your emotion. We grieve with that child because it's a natural expression. And when children grieve properly, that problem doesn't show up somewhere else in an inadequate place. Children ought to be allowed to grieve at a natural pace. I don't care how long it takes them, allow them to officially grieve because it is an emotion that must be expressed. And we must help them to understand that there's hope, and hope can come into their life again. And we must help them cultivate richness in their life so that they understand to be good to one another and to be charitable and all the Beatitudes. And we must show them that church can be mixed with state when you do it properly. There's no harm in being kind to someone. There's no harm in allowing someone to bear, you bearing their burden. And as you teach a child to be wholesome and to be a good character, they will reach back in all of their lessons and hold on to those charitable moments, which will make them a better citizen. What we're producing is children that have no sensitivity, no feeling for others. We're producing children that drive after grade only, but not after rewards of winning people's attitude. We are not a society that has patience for our children. We've got to learn patience and teach our children patience. We can never give up. We must show our children that it's okay to be alive. To be alive is to have feelings. We must show our children that it's all right to be able to take a blow, but to get up and to keep on going. We must tell our children that times are hard now and that we've fallen upon hard times, but we can and will make it because our ancestors persevered through. We must talk to them about our ancestors and how well they did during these times of recession. And you must tell them we're in a recession. Don't hide anything from your children. Allow your children to understand everything that's going on in your families and in your life, and let them grieve with you and go through the emotion with you. Keeping their spirit intact means to show them what it means to allow themselves to be pushed up against a prick so they can come out shining like a brilliant chameleon. Because the more that they're buffered, the stronger they will be. And we are out to build strong institutions. Our children are institutions. And we must build them up as if we want them to be lasting and strong, persevering individuals. We can do this, ladies and gentlemen. I know we can. And we can build the spirit back in our children. And we can allow them to dream. We can allow them to talk about heaven. And when they transition and came here, what is heaven like here on this earth? How to make a heaven for themselves, how to have joy and happiness, and how to have the Beatitudes and allow themselves to have friendships and to build long relationships. We've got to teach our children these things. They're not being taught in school. Our schools are becoming cesspools, and they're becoming inundated and now privatized. So there is no love in the heart of the ghetto. But mothers and teachers, you can bring the love back to the hearts of the ghetto. Children will make you their very best friend. And then they will bring their mothers, and they'll want their mothers to be your best friend. And then they'll be your family. Then they'll be your household. And then they'll be your support system. This is what it means to build the child's spirit, to make the child a part of your life, where you can tap in and feel when the child is hurting, when the child can tap in and feel when you're hurting. You need something from that child, too, just as much as that child needs something from you. You educate yourself when you educate a child, because you are going to grow from that child's experience. I want you to know today, ladies and gentlemen, the children ought to be at our center. Just like the Native American placed the child at the center, the child is the most important thing in the world. And then go and look after that youngest child and making sure that you become an advocate for that youngest child to speak where that child can't speak for himself and give a voice to the voiceless. I thank you, and I know you're going to be able to do it. If you can't do anything else for our children today, I'm going to ask that you begin to start to pray for our children. Pray that they will have hope.
I was stupid, really stupid. Something told me deep inside, better not do it. What a dummy, such a dummy. To let the mess I shouldn't have did take you from me. Girl, if I could take it back, it'd be so bad. I'd be such an angel. You'd think that me and Jesus was cool. Like that, just like that. Everything between us be good. Girl, I know what I should've done. Should've walked away the moment that I saw her coming. But I blew it, really blew it. And lost the only girl I love. Dear God, if you're listening now, I need you to do a thing for me. You see my baby, she done up and walked out. I need you to bring her back to me. I know that I was wrong, I was guilty of sin. Probably not priority. But dear God, if you're listening now, doubting, dying, begging, crying, somebody need to pray for me.
And on that note, ladies and gentlemen, we're on our way out of here, but I don't want to forget to pray for the children. And as we exit out of here, I want to say a prayer for the children, that every household here that may stretch their hands forward, that their children, if they're away from their home, in the court system, in the system where they may be taken away in the foster care, I want those mothers to stretch their hands out, because those children can be brought home. If their children that were frustrated and lost hope, and children that were taken because of abuse, mothers, you are being forgiven today. You have a second opportunity to put the hope back in that child. You have an opportunity to put the spirit back in that child, to reconnect them back to your source. And as I pray today, I pray that God will give you the strength to forgive yourself and those children who may have been mistreated by teachers, who might have not known that they were breaking their spirit. You're forgiven today, too. And we just ask you, Father, that you would go to every household today, that every child that's been broken in their spirit and who has a contrite spirit, you'll renew and reconnect their spirit. You'll give that child an opportunity again to live again, and that parent an opportunity to go back and recoup what they've lost and reconnect that child back to the family, back to the life of the flesh, because we know the life of the flesh is in the spirit. And we say to God be the glory. And we thank you, Father, that you've already done the work and that the work is already in place and it's being done. We just magnify you and give you all the honor and grace for what you're going to do and reconnecting that child's spirit. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining me. And as we exit out of this room but not out of this place, I tell you, the work is done. I tell you, and Father, fret not, because you
are not able to. I was stupid, really stupid. Something told me deep inside, better not do it. What a dummy, such a dummy. To let the mess I shouldn't have did take you from me. Girl, if I could take it back, it'd be so bad. I'd be such an angel. You'd think that me and Jesus was cool. Like that, just like that. Everything between us be good. Girl, I know what I should've done. Should've walked away the moment that I saw her coming. But I blew it, really blew it. And lost the only girl I love. Dear God, if you're can do a thing for me. You see my baby, she done up and walked out. I need you bring her back to me. I know that I was wrong, I was guilty of sin. Probably not priority. But dear God, if you're listening now, doubting, dying, begging, crying, somebody need to pray for me. Dear God, if you're listening, thought I was something, really something. In the end, who knew I'd end up with nothing? I was fronting, truly fronting. Girl, I really can't be mad, I had it coming. Guess if I was half the man I know I am, I would be so good that even Oprah be jealous of you. It's like that, yeah, like that. Everything between us be good. Girl, I know what I should have done. Should have walked away the moment that I saw her coming. But I blew it, really blew it. And lost the only girl I love. Dear God, if you're listening now, need you do a thing for me. You see my baby, she done up and walked out. I need you bring her back to me. I know that I was wrong, I was guilty of sin. Probably not priority. But dear God, if you're listening now, I'm down here dying, begging, crying. Somebody ought to pray for me.
My hope is that each and every one of your households will know that